Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host to The Heal It Show, Ken D. Foster. Hey, I'm so glad you joined us today. Today is a day for you to maybe start your healing quest, maybe take your life to a completely new level. You know what I found is that when you change your thinking, you can change your health. Well, I have a very special guest today that we're not only going to be talking about your thinking, we're going to give you practical solutions today to maybe get on a quest that you know you should do. And maybe you want to really take your health to a different level. You know, maybe you've got issues going on and you're wondering, is it even curable? Do I have something that's going to be chronic? Is it going to be with me the rest of my life? Well, maybe it is, but maybe not. Maybe you can heal that if you change what you think about it and you get on this quest to be persistent, but most importantly, get the right mentoring for the disease that you may have. Mentors, you know, medical doctors, holistic healthcare practitioners, people that are functional doctors, and individuals that are naturopaths, people that, you know, even chiropractors, some of the chiropractors out there, they have some what I would call realized knowledge. They're tuning into their wisdom because they've experienced this with so many patients, and they have wisdom that can help you to change up what's going on in your health. Well, I have one of these amazing doctors on my show today. He's my personal friend. We've known each other for several years, and he's helped literally thousands of individuals to heal things that a lot of doctors would claim as unhealable. So we will be right back with my guest as soon as I take this quick break. So stay tuned. Here we go. Well, welcome back, everybody. Wow, that was fun. My special guest today is Dr. John Chuback. Dr. John, welcome to the show, first of all. So glad to have you back again on the show. It's been a while.
Hey, Ken. Thanks so much. We always have a great time together. I've been looking forward to it for a long time, and I appreciate the invitation.
I love having you here because it's so filled with information that my audience can really apply to really to create vital health in themselves. Let me introduce you formally to some of our new guests that haven't heard you yet. Dr. John Chuback is an MD. He's board certified cardiovascular surgeon and chief medical officer at the Chuback Vein Center. He specializes in minimally invasive and laser treatments for people with varicose veins. This knowledge led him to creating Vital Support MD, a nutritional company that produces dietary supplements to promote good vascular health. And additionally, he is the creator of the LymphCast podcast, a published author, patent-holding inventor, and a visual artist. He has authored several books. And one of my favorite is Make Your Own Damn Cheese, Understanding and Navigating the... Let's see. I guess that's another book you got there, John. Understanding, Navigating, Mastering the Three Mazes of Success. So that's Make Your Own Damn Cheese. Anyway, that's a great book. All right. Well, let's jump into it. It's great to have you. And I could go on and on with your bio, but I think I want to dive into the show with you right now. So let's do that. So how did you get started in this, I guess, kind of off track from the traditional medical training that you had into, you know, exploring some new alternatives out there? What led you to that?
Yeah, well, you know, my background was very traditional, and in many ways it remains traditional, but I've tried to stay very open-minded. My father was a physician. He was a OBGYN. And my mother was a nurse, a registered nurse. And growing up, it was always sort of part of my paradigm, which, as you know, Ken, is something I teach a lot about and write a lot about, the paradigm and how the mind affects our belief systems and our habits and then our actions and our results. So growing up in that kind of a household, it wasn't a complete mystery how I wound up becoming an MD. And I went on to study open heart surgery up at the University of Rochester and practiced open heart surgery for about the first 6 years that I was in practice and did very well. But then I came to know about some new treatments that were coming out for people with vein disease of the lower extremities of the legs, varicose vein disease and associated vein problems. And I was really fascinated by it because it was brand new technology. I was doing what, you know, we sort of called maximally invasive surgery, opening the chest, putting the patient on the bypass machine, stopping the heart, replacing the valves, doing the bypasses, you know, really big time stuff, and even heart transplants, mechanical hearts. And then I came to know about this new technology, which was minimally invasive, office-based, done with the patient, wide awake, under local anesthetic. They walked in, they walked out, and using lasers and some injection treatments could do phenomenal things for the vascular system and vascular health. I found out 40 to 50 million Americans were suffering from those problems. And I've been doing that, 17, 18 years now, and gradually transitioned out of open heart. And that led me to know some other disease processes that I knew very little about before, namely something called lymphedema and something called lipedema or lipedema. And those are some really interesting subjects I want to touch on with you today.
Well, I want to touch on those subjects to you with you also today. And I'm thinking, I'm asking myself, you know, my mother had these varicose veins, and I think at one point she had them removed. What causes the varicose veins in the lower extremities? What's the cause of that?
Yeah, it's a great question. Generally, it runs in families. It's congenital, it's inherited, but it's so common that it's in millions of families. Like I said, 40 to 50 million Americans suffer from some degree of varicose veins. One of those actually, one of the areas of varicose veins that I want to touch on, it's kind of a sensitive subject, is hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids are a vein disease, and it's an inflammatory disease of the veins in the perianal area. It's something that, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk about because it's kind of embarrassing, et cetera. But you've got tens of millions of people suffering from vein disease with bleeding, from varicose vein disease and hemorrhoidal disease with bleeding, pain, inflammation, et cetera. So when I got, you know, into this, and I saw how common it was running in families, there was a huge need for it. And I was sort of at the forefront almost 20 years ago in the United States, learning these new techniques that had come really out of a lot of work that had been done in Europe before that.
Interesting. So let me ask you about the varicose veins, and then I want to get into the hemorrhoids because maybe they're one and the same. But first of all, are varicose veins dangerous? Is that something that if people have, you know, varicose veins, you know, is that a dangerous or is it just a cosmetic thing that people look at, or both?
Yeah, it's a great question. The answer is they do have the potential of being very dangerous. Typically, they're not very dangerous, but they can be. So let me explain. First of all, let me set the record straight, and this is a big part of what we do in education in this area, is we try to let physicians know, especially, that varicose veins are definitely not just cosmetic. Varicose veins are a problem with the vascular system, the venous system. That's the part of the vasculature that brings blood flow back from your legs, back to your heart, the blue blood, the deoxygenated blood. And when you get inflammation in the veins dilate, they become very large, the valves fail, the blood flow actually begins to go backward rather than coming from your foot up to your heart. The blood goes the opposite direction from your groin area down into your ankle, causing pooling of blood, swelling of the ankles, and that can lead to blood clots. It can lead to bleeding. It can lead to infection, cellulitis, and definitely wound ulcers, wound occurrence around the ankles, open ulcers around the ankles, what we call venous leg ulcers. The most dangerous thing that can happen is if you have clotting of those veins, if the veins clot off, those clots can extend into the deep system of veins in the leg, causing what we call a DVT, deep vein thrombosis, which a lot of people have heard of by now. And that can lead to something we call PE, pulmonary embolism, meaning that blood clot breaks off from the vein in the leg, travels to the heart, goes through the heart, and gets trapped in the lung, where basically it can cause suffocation.
Wow. Okay, so part of this, okay, what I heard you say earlier was some of this can be genetic, but I'm guessing like most diseases, a lot of it's caused from other things besides genetics. Is that accurate? And if so, what is some of the causes of the vein disease?
Yeah, there are other things that can certainly contribute. Having a genetic predisposition is common, but professions that require a lot of standing and sitting, which is most professions today, either you're seated at a desk with your heart like I am right now, my heart is above the level of my ankles, so that's causing a pressure gradient, what we call a hydrostatic pressure gradient, where gravity is trying to pull that blood down into my ankles all the time. If I were standing, that gradient becomes even worse. So people who are nurses, school teachers, hairdressers, police officers, etc., who are standing all the time are at high risk. Obesity is another risk factor. The more weight that you put on, the more pressure you put on the venous system, and the harder it is for blood to return to the heart. Multiple pregnancies are an increased risk factor because with each pregnancy, the uterus enlarges and puts pressure on the pelvic veins, which then gets translated to the leg veins. So things like this are all definitely risk factors.
What about diet? Does diet have anything to do with it or no on the venous side?
Well, the diet is going to have something to do with it if you wind up becoming obese. Certainly too much consumption, not enough exercise, overindulging in calories, that's going to lead to obesity, which can lead to varicose veins. One of the best things for the venous circulation is walking and activity, bike riding, walking, motion. All of that leads to what we call the calf muscle pump. As your calves contract, they not only move you across the surface in walking, but they also literally pump the blood back up to your heart. So keeping your weight under control, staying active, those are very important. And you want to really try to follow as much as possible an anti-inflammatory diet, because as you know, Ken, inflammation is the root cause of so many of the diseases in the body. And that sort of will bring us later to the discussion of my supplement company, VitaSupport MD, and those natural dietary supplements that are anti-inflammatory.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A let's talk. You know, I like where you're going with the pump in the calf system, and let's talk about lymphedema and the lymph system, and you know how that gets diseased, and how do we heal the lymph system? You're an expert in this area, so I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, it's a great discussion. Number one, you talk about the pump. It's a fascinating subject anatomically and physiologically, and something I'm going to be talking about on a couple of podcasts coming up this month, how the heart is related to the circulation and the lymphatic system and the venous system. Well, first of all, think about it. You have a pump about the size of your fist inside your chest, and that's physically pumping all day, every day, and it's pushing blood under pressure up to your brain, out to your arms, down to your guts and all of your intestines and all of your organs and to your legs and to your ankles, all the way to your big toe. The question is, how does that blood get back? And that happens through two mechanisms. One is through walking through that calf muscle pump, we call it, as the calves squeeze. They squeeze the veins and they push the blood up toward the heart. And it's almost like a little peripheral heart that you have in your calf muscles, pumping that blood back to where it came from. The other thing is breathing. As you take deep breaths, you open up your chest and you create a negative pressure in the chest. And it's a what we call a bellows effect. When you expand the chest, you create a vacuum in the chest and that pulls blood back up to the heart. So those are the two mechanisms. Now, that mechanism is not perfect. When the blood gets out to the little tiny capillaries in the circulation, there is a place where the little arteries join the little veins and the blood transfers from one side of the circulation to the other. In that little area where there's capillary flow from the arteries to the veins, there can be leakage of fluid. And that fluid wants to build up, especially in your ankles and your feet, at the lowest part of the body where the pressure is the greatest. So I always think of it this way. The artery bringing blood in is sort of like a garden hose. If you imagine a garden hose lying on your driveway, open full tilt. So high pressure water coming out of that garden hose. Then near the garden hose, not attached to it, but lying near the garden hose, a sump pump. And that sump pump is like a shop vac. That shop vac is like the veins, pulling the blood back to the other side of the circulation. But you can imagine if you had a hose lying on the ground and a sump pump right nearby, although the sump pump would do a great job of pulling most of that water, some of it would pool on the blacktop. That's where the lymphatic system comes in. The lymphatic system is like a sump pump sitting on the blacktop, sucking up all that extra fluid that has been lost in that transfer from artery to vein. And the lymphatic system does a beautiful job of bringing all of that extra fluid, not blood, but plasma or serum to the circulation again. It dumps back into the circulation in a vein right here near your collarbone. And that's what brings all the excess fluid back. When the sump pump system fails or doesn't work optimally, or the venous system is not working optimally, fluid is going to collect in the soft tissues and you get swelling, what we call edema. And that edema, when it's a result of the lymphatic system not working properly or the lymphatic system being overwhelmed by an abnormal amount of fluid collecting in the soft tissue, then we call that lymphedema. And it can be quite disfiguring.
Let me ask you, I'm taking it there's stages of edema where, you know, I don't know how you define it, but what's like stage one, stage two, stage three? You know, when should somebody see a professional?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are definitely stages of lymphedema. One would be very mild, where you start to see a little bit of swelling at the ankle. And two, you might see a little bit of straightening of the normal contour of the leg from the calf to the lower leg. And then you get up to the end stages of lymphedema where the leg is massively, massively disfigured. What you might know as elephantiasis kind of look, where the leg is really globular and lobular, and you actually have tissue sort of hanging over on itself.
Okay. At what stage is it treatable? And is there a stage it's just not treatable? That's my question.
It's always treatable. It can be treated at any stage. In fact, recently on our LymphCast podcast, that I recommend anybody with this problem or somebody who knows somebody with this problem of lymphedema, check out the LymphCast podcast. We had a professor from Sweden, Dr. Håkan Brorsson. He's a plastic surgeon in Sweden. He has been specializing in liposuction for people with lymphedema, which is very, very unusual, very hard to find. And his before and after photographs. Now, I'm talking about severe cases that even myself as an expert in this field, up until 6 months ago, I thought that those patients really had very little hope for any kind of dramatic change. Well, he showed us that even in the end stage cases, you can have almost completely normalized appearance and just dramatic, dramatic changes. So all the way from the most mild to the most severe, everyone can be treated. Those treatments would be different along the way, but everyone has hope.
Man, I'm just so happy you said that. Yeah, because I had not heard that before. And I bet a lot of my audience hasn't either. So it gives people hope that, you know, we can, you know, it goes back to my theory that just about anything can be healed. If we get the right professional advice, we get the right mentoring, we get the right doctors in place, we can change. We can heal things. So it gives a lot of us hope with that, Dr. John. One other thought, who's impacted by lymphedema? I mean, who's impacted, but who is at risk? Let's talk about that for lymphedema.
There are generally two major categories of lymphedema. The first category is congenital lymphedema, where people are born with an underdeveloped or undeveloped lymphatic system. And even as a baby, you'll see that these infants are born with a swollen limb or limbs. That's one problem. That's an anatomical abnormality that comes through birth. Then there is what we call secondary lymphedema. And there are many sources of secondary lymphedema. One would be trauma to the lymphatic system. Certainly damage after surgery, for example, one of the classic examples would be an upper extremity lymphedema, an arm lymphedema, after a woman has had breast cancer and sampling of the lymph nodes in the what we call axilla or the underarm area. As you know, Ken, oftentimes to stage cancer, the lymph nodes will be taken to see if there are any tumor cells in the lymph nodes. By removing those tumor cells, you have the chance of damaging the lymphatic system, which can lead to an upper extremity lymphedema. Very important subject.
Well, I want you to say that again, because I think this is really an important piece that a lot of people don't know about. So say that one more time.
Yeah. So, for example, again, as you know, I'm a board-certified general surgeon as well as cardiovascular surgeon. So I did a tremendous amount of training in cancer surgery, breast surgery. In fact, I spent 1 month on the breast cancer surgical service at Memorial Sloan Kettering in Manhattan. So when a woman or a man, for that matter, has a breast cancer, that's a very important thing to bring out on your program. Men can get breast cancer. And when they do, it can be very aggressive. It can be extremely aggressive, partially because it goes undetected, because no one's expecting a man to get a breast cancer. So for a man or a woman who has a breast cancer, the first thing that we want to see is, has there been any spread and how far has it spread? And one of the classic tests is sampling the lymph nodes surgically by removing some of the lymph nodes under the arm, in the underarm area, to see if there are tumor cells there. That can disrupt the lymphatic flow, and that can cause swelling of the upper arm. Now, fortunately, over the last 30 years, those lymph node sampling operations have become much, much less aggressive and much less radical. Many years ago, all of the lymph nodes were taken, as many as you could possibly find. Now we have very high-tech, highly specific ways of taking only one or two of those lymph nodes. So fortunately, this problem is less common, but it is an example of secondary lymphedema.
That's really important to know. All right, I've got to take a quick break. But by the way, I want to circle back on hemorrhoids. You know, we just touched on that. I know a lot of my audience has an interest in this. So we're going to circle back on that when we take our break. We'll be right back. All right, Dr. John, let me circle back with the hemorrhoid situation. And, you know, so many people seem to suffer quietly with this. Let's talk about maybe some of the treatments that are available today through your practice. And, you know, what do you recommend if you got hemorrhoids, you got something going on here?
Yeah, sure. Again, hemorrhoids are basically varicose veins of the perianal area. There are normal veins in that area, just like there are normal veins in every part of our body to drain blood back to the heart. Those veins can be enlarged and they can protrude, and there's different stages of hemorrhoids, some that are very minimally protruding and some that can be severely protruding. The causes, again, tend to be congenital. They can run in families, but heavy weight gain is an important aspect. Straining on the toilet, constipation, these kinds of things can also lead to hemorrhoids. And hemorrhoids can become painful. They can become inflamed. They can bleed. They can become infected. So it's a big problem, and it's a very common problem. The general treatments that we know of and that we utilize, well, surgery would be sort of a last course of action. We don't operate on hemorrhoids nearly as frequently as they did in years past because we have other good conservative measures. One would be a high fiber diet. Again, going to your question about diet, a good high fiber diet would be primary. Dietary supplementation with fiber, like things like psyllium and so forth, Metamucil, is also advantageous. Drinking plenty of water and staying hydrated, Ken, which is something I know that you're very, very big on as an athlete and so forth, endurance athlete. Hydration is incredibly important. Not straining on the toilet, not sitting and reading on the toilet, not, you know, people now they get into, it used to be reading on the toilet, now it's the smartphones that they're playing Candy Crush and who knows what else on the toilet and sitting there for a long time. Do not spend a lot of time in that squatted position. You put a lot of pressure in the perineal area and the hemorrhoidal area. So those are the things. In addition, of course, there are creams and ointments like Preparation H, witch hazel, tux pads, locally applied things. And then, of course, we at Vita Support MD think that to support hemorrhoidal health, supplements like MPFF, the micronized purified flavonoid fraction, and horse chestnut, there have been many good studies to show that those things support good hemorrhoidal health as well. And those you can take orally by mouth as part of your daily routine, especially if you are someone prone to hemorrhoids.
Interesting. You know, as you mentioned, I'm an athlete and, you know, I really take care of my health. I watch it all the time. And I'm wondering about, just for my audience, I'm wondering about stools and I'm wondering about, you know, for me, it's like I eat and usually I'll have a bowel movement. So, you know, my bowel movements are usually, you know, easy. They come out quickly. You know, I don't have any issues with it. But I know, is there a sign when all of a sudden you realize, you know, with your stool that something's going on that you should probably see a practitioner? What would you say around that? Maybe hard stools or stools that don't come out or, you know, I'm just wondering about that.
Yeah, again, as a board certified general surgeon who did a lot of work in colorectal surgery. In fact, I spent a month at Sloan Kettering on the colorectal cancer surgery service as well, in addition to doing a lot of other GI, gastrointestinal surgery and colon surgery. Stools can, I mean, again, it's something that people generally don't talk about, but it's an incredibly important subject, and I'm glad we're talking about it openly. There are many signs that there's a problem through stools. So number one, not everybody is in the habit of doing this. It's a very good idea to look at your stool. And you're going to look at your stool, and now you'll have a little bit more information, and you can read up and Google about more information because we don't have so much time today. But the number one thing you want to see is, how do my stools normally look, and is there a change? Has there been a change? I mean, that's sort of a good rule of thumb for every function of your body. Is something different? Has something changed? Things you want to look at is the size of the stool. Stools should be well-formed and of a normal caliber, which we all from experience know what that is. But warning signs would be, for example, something that we call a pencil-thin stool. If you have a pencil-thin stool, that would be a sign that there might be some kind of obstruction or blockage that stool is being sort of extruded through. You would know that looks very different and very abnormal. Chronically loose stools or diarrhea could show that there may be some kind of infection or other inflammatory process going on, parasitic infection, gastroenteritis, etc. Blood, of course, is always a bad sign. So there can be, blood from higher up in the gastrointestinal tract, which could be a sign of something like diverticulosis or cancer. There can be blood on the outside of the stool, streaky blood on the outside of the stool. That could be a sign of hemorrhoidal disease. There can also be black stools. Black stools could be a sign of bleeding very high up in the stomach because the blood gets metabolized and the stool becomes black. And the other thing that would be a concerning sign would be a white stool or a fatty looking stool or a floating stool, which could be a sign of a problem with your pancreas. So there are many of these things. So I'm so glad you asked this question. It's not a question that's often asked and it's not commonly discussed, but stool formation and stool structure is an incredibly important sign of health.
Yeah. I'm glad I asked it too. I don't think I've asked any of our doctors that, and I really appreciate the insights in that because I know that, it's interesting because, you know, it's like we really need to tune into our bodies and we really need to be more and more aware of our bodies, especially with the environments we live in and all the foods that are maybe not so healthy. So I'm really glad you talked about that. Now, I'm hoping my audience doesn't have to get to the point where they need the stools and stuff. So I want to flip over because one of the things I love about you is that you are like a full range doctor. Listen, you have a supplemental company out there that I use your supplements and have for years. And I'd like to talk about that piece. Again, I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back. But when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, let's talk about preventative. Let's not get us to the place where we need to go see a practitioner, at least other than maybe a annual checkup. All right, I'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Let's talk about some of the key supplements that would support an individual having great vitality and longevity with these bodies.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think that a good multivitamin is a really good thing for most people to take. Now, I can tell you as a traditional allopathic Western medical doctor whatever terminology you want to use, it was quite common in school to be taught that supplements were not valuable or not necessary, and that most of the supplements that you took, you would be simply urinating out through your system or passing through your feces into the toilet and wasting your money. Now, there may be some truth to that, actually, for people who are super duper careful about their diet, eating incredibly well, taking amazing care of themselves. But I have news for you. As a board certified general and cardiovascular surgeon practicing for more than 20 years here in Northern New Jersey, and I had 15 years of training before that to get out into practice, that represents very few people in modern society. Now, Ken D. Foster may be that guy, and I'm sure that he is, in fact. That doesn't mean that he doesn't take supplements, but he may not need them. On the other hand, there are a lot of Americans who are living on Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks for breakfast and McDonald's and quote-unquote nutrition bars for a meal replacement and a lot of red meat and not enough vegetables, not enough fruits, certainly not enough organic fruits and vegetables, you know. And so people are deficient in things. Now, one of the classic deficiencies that I can point to is vitamin D. Now, in my practice, we ran for several years a medical weight loss program. And in that medical weight loss program, everyone got a vitamin D level. Now, I'm here in the Northeast in Northern New Jersey. In that program, in the 4 or 5 years that we ran it, no one ever had a normal vitamin D level in my practice. Through sun exposure or normal nutrition, everybody got supplemented. And we now know that vitamin D is associated with a lot of bodily functions. Is it important? I think it's important. And let me give you another example why, Ken. You and I were in very close contact when COVID first came out. And when COVID first came out, as you know, I was here in the epicenter in New York. It was a very, very, very scary time. A lot of people got sick. There was a lot of death. It was a big problem. You know, I'm clear on my position on that. But before there were any other known treatments, and I don't want to get into, you know, the specifics of vaccines and antivirals and everything, but before there were any treatments, all of these physicians who were allopathic, Western trained, traditional MDs like myself, in all the big university hospitals where I trained and everything else, the only thing they could give, and that they did give initially, was high doses of supplements. They were giving vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E. That's not something I'm making up. I know that to be true. Why suddenly all of these people who previously said you don't need any of that stuff, they were suddenly trying to supercharge the human immune system with those supplements? And I think that they're is evidence that some of that was very valuable and helpful. And I know a lot of physicians personally, myself included, this is anecdotal, this isn't science, I'm not, you know, trying to make it, but anecdotally, myself and many of my colleagues who were formally trained allopathic physicians, every day we were taking the zinc, we were taking the vitamin E, we were taking the vitamin D, massive doses of vitamin C to protect ourselves. Why? Not because vitamin D cures or prevents COVID, or any of those supplements cure or prevent COVID. But what you're trying to do is to give your body's immune system all the fuel that it needs and all of the components that it needs to function at its very best, at its optimal level. And I saw it happening and you saw it happening, Ken, and we had that discussion at the time.
Yeah, well, there's a huge case for that. And I know me personally, right? I mean, you're right. I eat organic, I eat healthy. I mean, you know, I have, you know, super foods in the morning, noon and night, right? But I also supplement. And I, you know, for me, I always find the highest grade supplements that I can, which is why, one of the reasons why I went to you, because I knew of your reputation and I knew that you had the highest supplements that are out there. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they were refined the right way, they were processed the right way, and I got the maximum amount of nutrition. And as a result of that, you know, I did get COVID one time. It was not that heavy, but that was it, right? I was good, right? So, you know, and even when, you know, other family members got it for weeks, right? Not me. So it, you know, it does make a difference. Anecdotally, I like that. There's no science behind it other than my experience, which for me is number one. So anyway, I want to tell my audience, because we are running out of time, they can go to VitaSupportMD.com, VitaSupportMD. We got a lot of listeners out there. And you can find out what Dr. Chubak has on that site. We don't have time to go into the details of each product out there, but I just want to assure you, because I've been assured, and I know Dr. Chubak for many years now, their products are fantastic. That's what I'm going to say. So, you know, I do just have a moment or two left, and, you know, I want to move to the mind. You know, you wrote a book, and that's how you and I first connected. You know, who moved my cheese, or what's your book? It's tell me about Make your own damn cheese. That's it. Make your own damn cheese. That's where we connected that. And, you know, that book is really about changing the mindset. And I think there's a chronic, disease in the world where people get so stuck on being right or being in an old habit or being this is the only way it works for me type thing. And yet they continue to have chronic illness in their body. So let's talk about the mind and how important is that with for the next 3 minutes, 4 minutes, so that my audience can get an idea about who moved my cheese and also why it's so important to focus on this mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, mind is the master tool that makes everything that we have in our life. You know, I tell people frequently, I had an amazing education, formal education, college, 4 years of medical school, 5 years of general surgical training, 2 years of open heart cardiovascular training, did some incredible things, have stopped the human heart, restarted the human heart, transplanted the human heart, operated on infants with life-threatening disease. I've learned some incredible things, but there is nothing that compares to the learning that I did about the human mind, not the brain. The brain is a 3-pound organ that lives in our skull, but the mind. The mind is more like an activity that inhabits every single cell of our entire body. And we have three parts to the mind, the conscious, the subconscious, and the superconscious. And that's what I talk about in Make Your Own Damn Cheese, and how the thinking mind impregnates the subconscious mind. Our thoughts produce our beliefs, and those beliefs drive our habitual habits, and those habitual habits drive our results. So when it comes to health, if you're thinking illness, if you're thinking sickness, if you're thinking lack, that's what you'll get. If you're thinking wellness, if you're thinking health, if you're thinking prosperity, you're much more likely to get that. Can you walk across the street and be hit by a city bus, even if you have a positive attitude? Absolutely. But if you're thinking like Ken D. Foster about his health all the time, about his wellness, about exercise, you are stacking the deck in your favor mentally that your belief system is going to be more like, hey, why don't we start the day with superfoods? Hey, why don't we have some more superfoods for lunch? Hey, why don't we go for a swim or go for a jog or go for a walk in between that? Why don't we watch positive material for our mind? Why don't we read up on health and supplements and nutrition rather than fill our mind with garbage and junk and trash, which puts us into a negative vibration, causes depression, causes anxiety, causes us to not want to do all of those activities that make us healthy, make us well. I mean, this is the most powerful thing that I've ever learned, the connection between the mind and our results.
And I know, you know, we could do a whole show on that. We have done whole shows on that, by the way. So if you go to voicesofcourage.us, if you want to find out some more about what Dr. John Chubak says about the mind and his books, we have those broadcasts out there. So I hope people will listen to that. This has been a powerful show. I'm always impressed when we talk about what we talk about with Dr. Chubak. Closing thoughts. I love what you just said, because, You know, and let me just back up. People have a choice. We all have a choice, right? We're not victims of these bodies. We have a choice, you know, whether or not you are prone or you have genetics that show you that you might have XYZ disease because your parents did and their parents did. That's okay. You might have a proponent to that, but you can still be proactive around that. And you can get on the healing quest and you can find out what's right for you so that you don't have to necessarily suffer and go through the pain and struggles that past generations do. That's why I love having Dr. Chubeck on, because he always brings us hope and understanding and a lot of practical tools and wisdom. So I hope you check him out, and I hope that you continue to watch the Voice of the Heal It show. But that's my thought. But here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to give Dr. John about a minute and a half. You know, it's a message to the world, my friend. What do you want to tell people about their health right now?
Well, I think the most valuable lesson I can share is something we touched on, which is your health is your responsibility. And we do need to take full responsibility for ourselves and for the condition that we're in. So I want you to take your health seriously. Ken is a perfect example of somebody who takes his health very, very seriously. And the biggest advice that I give again and again on the LymphCast podcast is, if you have a problem of any kind and you're seeking medical attention from any kind of practitioner, healer, clinician, and you're not satisfied with the answers that you're getting and you're not satisfied with the results that you're getting, get another opinion. Seek more advice. Seek more wisdom. Not everyone knows everything. In the field that I'm in, a very practical, pragmatic field, this is not, as my friend Dennis Waitley likes to say, this is not a woo-woo field. I'm not talking about anything esoteric or spiritual now. I'm talking about venous and lymphatic disease. 99% of physicians that you will see don't know anything about it. Not because they're stupid, not because they're bad doctors, because there's very limited knowledge at this point. So keep looking for a specialist, no matter what your problem is, whether it's psychological, emotional, physical, etc. There is always hope, and there's always someone else to give you better advice and wisdom. So take that responsibility and never give up on yourself. There's always hope.
I love it. Dr. Chubeck, thank you so much, John, for being on the show again today. And I hope you come back again and again, because it was brilliant.
Thanks.
And my wife just walked in. She's brought me my breakfast. It's a plant-based yogurt with organic apples and bananas and some raisins in there, and there's some other good organic food in there. So I'm getting ready to eat what I know is healthy, vital, and will give my body energy and not shut it down. From my heart to yours, everybody, have a blessed day. And thank you so much again, John, for being here. It's an amazing show.
Thanks.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.